ultra massive broadcast lined up for you today. We'll get into the latest death numbers of our troops in Iraq. New scandals concerning torture, not just in Iraq, but also Afghanistan. The Fed to raise interest rates, what's happening with the economy. But a large portion of the broadcast, we also have Paul Watson joining us in an hour and a half to cover the worldwide news and to give us his news analysis. It's always excellent. But in the first hour and a half, we're going to predominantly focus on Pulitzer Prize-winning author, researcher, San Jose Mercury reporter, Gary Webb, who we now have gotten the details. The police report, all of it. He was shot in the face with a shotgun. Clearly murdered. Oh, but conveniently, the police say it was a suicide. Well, since we learned of this yesterday morning, and the world learned of it yesterday morning, that he had been killed in his home the morning before, since we learned of this, I've talked to Sally Castillo, I have talked to Chico Brown, who was Free Ray Ricky Ross's, well, one of his top business partners. Freeway Ricky Ross, the biggest drug dealer on the West Coast for the CIA. And you see, I'm one of the few people that's interviewed Freeway Ricky Ross, not on this radio show, but for an upcoming film that I'm involved in called American Drug War. Well, last night, the producer of the film called Freeway Ricky Ross in the federal prison he's in the panhandle of Texas, up near good old Tulia, where he's not allowed to have interviews. Even Texas Monthly has trouble getting in to see him. And I've interviewed him over the phone before from there for the film. And he learned from Kevin Booth, the producer of American Drug War, that Gary had recently been telling him that he was on to new information concerning the CIA and drug trafficking. And that men... He pulled up to his house and two men were up on his balcony. Two special forces types. They jumped off the balcony and ran away. He was being followed. He was being threatened. But the police, of course, will say it is all suicide. Just like Princess Diana says, they're going to kill me in the next few months, they've told me, in a fake automobile accident. That's how they're going to kill me. They killed my lover. They murdered him. Now they've said they're going to kill me. Or Dr. David Kelly, whistleblower, says if I don't shut up, they're going to kill me and I'll be found dead in the woods. Told two different colleagues that have gone public, mainstream news, but again, back of the paper. We're not going to let the memory of Gary Webb go down in some type of shame like he committed suicide. This is unbelievable, but it's par for the course with what we've seen. Police officers that expose Oklahoma City get stabbed 13 times and have their throats slit and have torture marks and handcuff marks on them. And it goes on and on. We're tired of it. I mean, they got medical examiners that will say, well, you've got, you know, severed limbs and torture marks head to toe. And they'll say, oh, suicide. Arkansas. Gary Webb, unrecognizable, face blown off. By the way, a shotgun doesn't do that up close. It has to be at least from a few feet away. That's how the pattern works. They blew his face off and then put this note on the front door. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Alex Jones. From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
So, the award-winning Pulitzer Prize winner, author of the best-selling book, Dark Alliance, CIA Drugs, series, dead of reported suicide, shot in the face with a shotgun. Now, it was a little more obvious when people would commit suicide with two gunshots to the back of the head, which is kind of hard to get the rifle to the back of your head, and then it's impossible, basically, to shoot yourself twice in the back of the head. But we have now learned some new developments. I have interviewed Ricky Ross, Freeway Ricky Ross, who was selling $25 million worth of cocaine a day. $25 million of cocaine a day in California, distributing across the West. Openly taking delivery from the Central Intelligence Agency. And Gary Webb won the Pulitzer Prize. Then the media, the establishment, tried to discredit him. He was successful in disproving their claims. He had just recently been able to disprove everything they were saying and had been vindicated. And he had recently told Freeway Ricky Ross via telephone in his federal jail cell in North Texas that there were men up on his balcony when he pulled up at home, jumping off and running off, that he was being followed, that he was being threatened. And then he supposedly shoots himself in the face with a shotgun. He was moving. He had movers coming to his house, was moving. Had just had a divorce. That's when the CIA likes to strike, so they have the convenient narrative, the story. Oh, he was depressed. And then he just shot himself in the face with a shotgun. And again, I'll repeat it. Just yesterday, big British newspapers, several of them, had the headlines with the British paramedics that came to the scene of Dr. David Kelly, the former head of the biological weapons program at Porton Down, then the head British UN envoy to the inspectors, saying that it wasn't true, Saddam couldn't hit England in 45 minutes notice with chemical or biological weapons, that there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. He then told an American and a British colleague, they're going to kill me, I'm going to be found dead in the woods if I don't shut up. And then he's found dead in the woods with three undigested sleeping pills that wouldn't have killed him, by the way, would have taken dozens. They're undigested, somebody put them down his throat. Undigested, sitting in his belly, sitting in his stomach, with almost no blood at the scene. He supposedly died by slitting his own wrist. And there's almost no blood at the scene, and one of the local constables, when they were out looking for him, because he'd come up missing the night before, that morning when they came upon the body from about 100 yards, they described seeing men in black uniforms who looked like military men, you know, the short haircuts, muscular. And then they walked off from the dead body, and the constable went up there and didn't chase them, obviously intimidated by them. And then they called in the police, and oh, it's a suicide! Men with shaved short haircuts standing around the body. No blood to speak of, the paramedic said. Tells people they're going to kill me and put me in the woods. I mean, what more do you need? A videotape of them killing him? Princess Diana, months before her death, says they're going to kill me. They've told me. Charles is going to kill me in a fake auto accident. This is mainstream news. They're going to kill me in a fake auto accident. And then a few months later, when she's pregnant with the shopping mall tycoon's child, and the British royals weren't about to let her be pregnant by anybody who wasn't royal, much less an Arab. Very upset about that. Think of the scandal. She thought she could just rebel and do whatever she wanted to, you know, get back at him. Didn't work that way. Her car, her Mercedes, gets stolen the week before. And when it gets returned, all detailed, nice, no questions asked, her security detail just says, oh, it got returned. We'll just take it. Wonder why. And then the cameras all turn off 2 minutes before the wreck. And then it plows into the pillar, in the underground tunnel. And then they sit there for an hour. The paramedics just sit there, and you see the surveillance cameras, and they turn back on. Her legs moving and twitching, and it looks like people are inside holding her down. And she has a little problem. And she gets loaded in the ambulance, and they drive 25 miles an hour for another 45 minutes, and she dies at the hospital. And right as she gets there. Oh, no, she wasn't killed. I mean, people can say, they're going to kill me. They can specifically say how they're going to die. They can name who is going to kill them. And then when they're murdered, the authorities say, oh, no, it was an accident or it was a suicide. This is unbelievable. And the cowards in the media and the cowardly police and the cowardly medical examiners, they just go and rubber stamp it. They've got a problem, though, because the paramedics in the Kelly case are saying, no, this guy had been brought there. You know, we've seen what happens when people slit their wrist. There's blood. There's blood, you know. They got a problem with saying all the voice recorders and data recorders were destroyed at the World Trade Center site because firefighters are going public and saying it's all a fraud. And by the way, the FBI's threatened us. They got a problem. Some people got courage. Some people speak up. Some people get involved. Some people have spinal cords and aren't jellyfish. And I'm not going to stand here and let them besmirch the memory of people they kill, like Dr. Kelly and Gary Webb. I'm not going to sit here and watch these heroes fall and then not give them their due. Gary Webb deserves to be buried in Arlington Cemetery with a monument there for standing up and never backing down. And I know they've got patriotic cemeteries in England. Dr. David Kelly deserves to be buried there for doing what's right. I'm not going to sit here and let them claim they commit suicide when it's not true. And again, I will never commit suicide. I've never thought of committing suicide. I would never want to commit suicide. Nothing would happen in my life that would make me commit suicide. So don't you, if they kill me, ever let the media say I committed suicide. I'm sick of it. And again, they have old technology. Even the highway departments come out. Federal transportation offices come out and said, oh yeah, we can remote control cars perfectly. And why in the future we may even make it to where your cars are controlled as you drive down the road. Or where there's little sensors on your car. And if there's an emergency, we can remote control and take control of your car. That will keep you from running into other cars or any type of obstructions. Covered that about a year ago when it came out off the government's own website. It's old technology. So the car, Diana's car, gets stolen a week before, gets brought back detailed, and her own security doesn't even, her own royal security just, oh, it was stolen and it was returned. Let's just put you in it. And so the driver gets in there, and everybody describes it as the car just suddenly veers right into the 13th pillar. In fact, it did it over 100 yards early. It isn't like it just suddenly veered. The car's driving, and it just veers perfectly and stays in a perfect line and hits straight on, dead center, into that pylon. Clearly, it was remote control. Then it turns out the driver was not on drugs, was not drunk, was not on pills. Those toxicology reports are out public. But boy, when did you ever hear of somebody in a car? Wasn't stuck in the car. It was just the front of the car was smashed. When you ever heard of somebody, them just leaving somebody for an hour in the car? There's the video of her legs flopping as they're leaning in over. They're going to kill me in a fake auto accident. Charles is going to kill me soon. He told me. Oh, the police. Oh, no, he's not a suspect. No, because you can't be a suspect. He's your royal, isn't he? No, royals never kill their families, never kill their wives. They never smothered the twins in the tower. And King Henry VIII didn't kill five of his wives, have their heads chopped off. No, they never do that. It never happens. I don't know when it doesn't happen. That's court intrigue. No, it's impossible. It's ridiculous. Royals do not have other royals killed when they're pregnant with Arabs' children. I'm sure Prince Charles was happy, and he was just going to let a foreigner impregnate his wife. And again, I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I'm saying they weren't going to put up with that. But Gary Webb, ladies and gentlemen, new developments. And this was recorded, by the way. I talked to Kevin Booth last night, right before he's making the American Drug War film that I'm narrating and hosting. It's a big production. Been in production for a year. Going to be in production for another year. And he was going to call, or get the call, his weekly call from Premier Ricky Ross in prison, where Gary Webb got a lot of his information. And when he called him, he didn't know that Gary died, and that was all caught on tape. We'll air that tomorrow, perhaps even in the third hour today, if Kevin's able to get back to his office and do it. But he will be joining us in the next segment from the road.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we've got some big breaking news for you, and we're going to be posting this on PrisonPlanet.com later this afternoon. We definitely need our great listeners to make a transcript of this interview from this point on. Kevin Booth is a documentary filmmaker. He's been working for the last year on a film titled American Drug War. And in the website's AmericanDrugWar.com, the film will be coming out in about a year. He's interviewed basically everybody under the sun concerning the history of the drug war, who really controls the drug trade. And I am the narrator of the film and the host of it. And I have been involved in some interviews with Ricky Ross, known as Freeway Ricky Ross, the biggest public drug dealer, that is the biggest known drug dealer in West Coast history, upwards of, in some days, $25 million worth of dealing going on, linked directly back to the CIA. He was one of the main sources for Gary Webb, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the book Dark Alliance, CIA Drug Series, in the San Jose Mercury News. And then, of course, he then wrote the best-selling book, Dark Alliance. He was shotgunned in the face, something that the major newspapers aren't reporting, but I have this from direct sources in Sacramento and some of Gary's best friends and associates. It's just unbelievable. He was shotgunned in the face. And then movers who were coming to the house found a note on the door saying, don't come in, call 911, call an ambulance. Yesterday, Kevin called me, and again, we've interviewed Ricky in the past, and he said, Ricky's scheduled to call me tonight at 10:30, because you can't call him at the federal prison he's in. They've moved him there from Victorville, Florida. Excuse me, scratch that. From Victorville, Northern California, from that prison in Northern California, in Southern California, and again, we'll scratch that out of the transcript. I'm trying to get all these facts together. Victorville in Southern California to the panhandle of Texas, North Texas, where they do not let media in to interview Mr. Ross. So we've been doing it over the telephone. Kevin Booth was able to get the call last night and had the unfortunate job of breaking the news to Freeway Ricky Ross that Gary Webb had died from gunshot wound to the head, to the face, in very questionable circumstances. And now Kevin can reveal to us what Gary Webb, via telephone, had recently told Freeway Ricky Ross. Kevin Booth?
Hey, Alex.
We got about 3 minutes before we hit break. Just tell folks basically who Freeway Ricky is and what happened in the conversation last night.
Well, I guess, you know, like you said, Ricky Ross was, he just became known as the biggest crack dealer in West Coast history. The the name Freeway came from the fact that he was buying up so much real estate along the Harbor Freeway in Los Angeles. And when he finally got put away the second time, he didn't know that the CIA was behind, you know, allowing him to become so big. I mean, basically, it's not like CIA agents were, like, supplying him with cocaine. It's more like he just couldn't believe he never got caught, and he couldn't believe how low the prices were, and he couldn't believe how just easy it all was to
well,
become
people,
huge.
I mean, in the Dark Alliance series and talking to Ricky, they had a go-between, but it was Contras directly selling him, and then the Contras flying back were all part of the CIA operation.
Right. It was all, yeah, all these big cartels. And so, you know, like you said, I mean, he was in the Victorville prison in right above Los Angeles there. And, you know, the last time he spoke to Gary, which wasn't that long ago, you know, he told me that Gary was still working on the story, that this was the kind of thing that Gary was never going to give up on, because Gary felt like he could just keep going with this forever and uncover more and more people and exposing more names. But he did tell me that Gary knew he was being followed. Every time he drove somewhere, there was always cars following him around. He said he knew it was government people. Several times he came home to his apartment, a two-story apartment, late at night, and a guy would come shimmying down like a drainage pipe, you know, off of his balcony, and, you know, he could tell it wasn't a burglar. I mean, it was obviously somebody probably in his apartment rummaging around looking at documents or looking at his computer.
And we talked off air. It was described as kind of a special forces type, you know, really fast going down the pipe.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it you know, so on to, like, the whole suicide angle of the story, I mean, it's kind of like they did stuff to kind of freak him out, to intimidate him, to push him to actually being depressed. But, I mean, everybody I've spoken to, Ricky included, said there's no way, you know, that this guy would have taken his life, that he enjoyed life, he loved his kids, he was excited about the future. And, you know, people of South Central L.A., saw Gary Webb as a godsend, that he was...
we'll be right back, Kevin. We got a break. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be talking to Celi Castillo, of course, the top DEA agent in Latin America, Central and South America, who was eyewitness to masses of drug deals by the CIA and by the Contras, and another one of Gary Webb's sources, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the Dark Alliance series in the San Jose Mercury News, then wrote the best-selling book, Dark Alliance, CIA Drug Trafficking. And the new developments, Kevin Booth, again, who's been interviewing, talked to him last night. I've interviewed him for the film as well, talking to Freeway Ricky Ross, who was the person who was supplied with CIA cocaine and the biggest known drug dealer in West Coast history, tens of millions of dollars a day going on for years, and was absolutely untouchable, one of the major sources for the Dark Alliance piece. Kevin broke the news to Freeway Ricky Ross, last night. And describe for us, Kevin, before we get back into the people that were rummaging through and up on his balcony and following Gary Webb around, according to Ricky Ross. How did Ricky take it when you described it to him? I know we're going to be able to play that on the air, but you weren't at your office when I called you for this broadcast this morning, and so we're not going to be able to have that until tomorrow. But Kevin, describe that discussion for us.
Oh, he took it really bad, you know. I mean, he thought of Ricky as he thought of him as like a godsend, and that you know, this guy Gary put his life on the line to expose this story, and that, you know, that he just thought it was really depressing. It really just really made him sad, and he said a lot of the guys there in jail who are familiar with the story, and a lot of people are going to be sad. I mean, there's, you know, when he came out with that story, a lot of people in South Central just kind of had a wake-up call, and it just all rang so true to them. And, you know, one of the crazy parts of the story, too, is that like I said, I mean, Ricky wasn't, he wasn't even aware of all this until he got put in prison, and Gary Webb came out to try to help him with his case. And that's when all this evidence started becoming uncovered. It was just like with me working on this film about the drug war, it's just like one thing leads to another. It just never ends. So you talk to one person, they lead you to another, and he just kept following this chain. And the chain, you know, just because he finished that one book, it just never stopped. So my question to Ricky was like, well, why was, you know, the book is already out. Everybody knows all this stuff. So why kill him now? Was this just a revenge thing? And he said absolutely not, because Gary was still hot on the trail, and he was never going to give up on this thing.
And he had just recently been vindicated. The establishment media had been trying to attack him with ham-fisted attacks, but it wasn't working. And he had just, as of late, brought out a lot of new evidence. He had been vindicated. That was starting to come out in the news. He was still on the trail. That had been reported on. Now, Celly Castillo is joining us right now, Kevin, and he may not be aware of this new development. When you talked to Ricky Ross last night for Celly, please repeat what Ricky told you, Gary told him, about people at his apartment and about being followed.
Well, yeah, he knew that he was being followed all the time, and there are several instances where he would come home after, you know, working all day late at night, and he would see a guy shimmy down like he had a drain pipe that went up to the balcony on a second floor apartment, and these guys that were definitely not burglars would like come shimmying down the pole really fast and just, you know, disappear, and he was pretty confident that they're up there rummaging through documents, looking at his computer.
What was the term, and again, we're going to air this interview, but Kevin, what was the term he used to describe them? I mean, why did he think that they weren't just regular burglars? I believe he described it as that it was just so professional how they did it.
Just so professional. What Ricky said, he just said that Gary said they were definitely government. That's all, you know, that's all he's told me, so I'm not going to put words in his mouth. But he just said that Gary had said these are definitely government people. You know, I mean, he knew, he'd been
following.
So
that was the term he used, was definitely government people.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Anything else he told you during this interview? I mean, I've been doing interviews before with you, with Ricky, and he only gets about 15 minutes, and then the prison cuts him off. This is the only way we're allowed to interview him. They don't really let the media in to interview him, and you've actually had to contact lawyers and have started proceedings concerning that because they're not supposed to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, another part of the story I didn't know about was that, you know, after Chico and Ricky had gotten arrested that time, I guess there was some production company in New York that wanted to was trying to buy the rights to do like a film about this, and the DEA raided their office and confiscated everything. Some big like film company in New York, and definitely put an end to any thoughts that these guys were going to make a movie about this.
Yeah, this would blow Scarface, which is based on some real characters, out of the water. I mean, this is a film that needs to be made, and so that's another big piece of this. Anything they can to try to stop it. And, Kevin, I know that you're out taking care of errands right now. I hope that you can try. Well, let's be honest. I called Kevin this morning. He's out on the Greenbelt, beautiful weather here, down by the river, walking his two dogs. But, Kevin, do you think you can get back to your office and get that queued up by the end of the show?
I'll try to.
If you can, it's okay. We can air it tomorrow.
I don't know how to play it over the phone, though.
You can figure it out. You can plug it into your. Well, just try to figure it out. If you can't, we can get it over here and get it uploaded to the computer tonight and try to get it, or put it on the web in high bandwidth, and we can download it and stream it that way. This needs to get out immediately for Gary. Kevin, I want to bring up Celly Castillo. Now, Celly, again, was the top DEA agent. He's been all over the big national TV shows, foreign television, We've interviewed him many times. He's come to Austin and showed the pictures of the CIA drug dealers. He shows us the connection to Latin America, how that coupled through to people like Freeway Ricky Ross and the direct connection of the CIA and these conduits to people like Freeway Ricky Ross and the LAPD protecting Ricky Ross and other top drug dealers. Selly, was this a new development for you to learn that Kevin talked to Freeway Ricky and found out that he had told Freeway Ricky that he'd had men at his house and things?
I've heard something to that effect, but I wasn't very sure on it, what actually did happen. But my whole point to this issue is the fact that you got to remember one thing. Nobody's ever done a movie or a documentary on the Iran-Contra investigation, which involved the CIA involving drug trafficking. Now, Gary Webb at one point pointed to the assets that were heavily involved, and I myself pointed to actually the CIA officials who were actually participating in loading and unloading and refueling the planes.
You came to Austin and did a two-hour presentation and showed photos of them, documents, everything.
Yeah, I got another 100 set of slides I'm going to bring over to Kevin Booth so he can put them on, and those slides do have the good, the bad, and the ugly. And,
well, for people that don't know who you are, in a nutshell, tell us what you did and why you went public. Describe what you saw in Latin America.
Well, you got to remember one thing. I am not an individual who comes off from the left or from the right, but I was reared as a very patriotic family. Coming from a very patriotic family, and we all served our country and so forth. And when I joined the DEA, I thought that by putting my life on the line that I would make a difference. But it was there in Central America in my 6 years that I realized that we were the enemy. We were sleeping with the enemy. We were involving drug trafficking. And when I tried to expose the whole issue, I remember Randy Capster, a CIA official, saying to me, nobody's going to listen to you. We've been doing this for years, and nobody's going to ever stop us. He was absolutely right. Nobody has stopped them from doing their drug trafficking worldwide.
So I was you had CIA...
I saw DEA's participation in refueling planes of cocaine into the U.S. and never been arrested, never been seized or anything. They were just, it's like O'Hare Airport at the Ilopango Airport. So they were heavily, definitely involving drug trafficking.
And you had individuals tell you, hey, buddy, you're never going to stop us.
That's right. I had a CIA official by the name of Randy Capster, who was down there for close to 7-8 years involving those covert operations. And, he was involving training the death squads and basically just about everything you could do covertly in Central America he was involved in.
And I have about an hour-long video that's just full of clips of you on national television going over much of this in years past, and they're unable to even challenge you. You've got to be worried a little bit about your safety, sir.
Well, recently, be honest with you, I've had some vehicles follow me around trying to, I could tell their government, because of my experiences and how they... you approach them, they turn their face, and they're on the cell phone. But I've been under surveillance for quite a while now.
But you're not afraid. You were a highly decorated sniper in Vietnam.
Well, exactly. But my point is this. I've since Vietnam, let's put it this way, I've been on borrowed time. So I've made my peace with God, and be it what be it, but I will fight till the end, and I will never ever commit suicide. So.
Well, I want to say that, too. I will never commit suicide. Kevin, you want to...
It's a triple non-suicide pact. I will never commit suicide.
Yeah, we're in it for the long haul. We need to fight these people, till the very end. And whatever we have available, with what little we have, we need to continue fighting this thing because it's getting worse. And... it's going to get worse before it gets better, if it gets better.
Talking about Gary Webb, Selly, he's dead. Shotgun to the face, and they described his face from the sources, and you got a call just 2 hours after they found him. You were notified, and that his face was basically unrecognizable. Well, a shotgun doesn't do that if it's point blank. Shotgun only does that from a few feet away for the pattern to expand. And people don't normally commit suicide with a shotgun to the face. Can you comment on what you learned about this?
Well, I got a call from Michael Rupert, who eventually he got his information right away after the incident. And, you know, he knew that there was a note had been left and so forth. And that he was planning to move that morning at the movers coming in. And they found that note on the door, you know, allegedly that saying, do not come in, and, you know, call 911 and call an ambulance. I mean, why on earth, if you're going to commit suicide, would you like to, you know, bring an ambulance if you shoot yourself with a 12-gauge shotgun?
Well, that sounds like the classic mafia activity, blowing somebody's face off.
Well, you know what? And to be honest with you, I really think when we speak about government people, I speak about Felix Rodriguez and his goon squads have been involved in all kinds of assassination attempts, whether it's foreign or domestic. You know, Felix and his group are very well documented as trained assassins.
Well, it's like Barry Seal. They just marched up and machine gunned him.
Exactly. And, you know, and they play in a couple of Colombians for the head and so forth. But there's always people that are willing to take the fall for the agency.
Unbelievable. Again, Sully, just for the record, tell us about your position in the DEA.
Well, I was a senior agent in El Salvador. I mean, that's how serious the war on drugs were at that time. You know, we had two agents covering the four countries in Central America. And, you know, I was assigned to cover El Salvador.
Well, to be clear, I had read in mainstream media reports that you were described as the senior DEA officer in Latin America. Are those incorrect?
No, those are correct. You know, I spent my time in New York City and domestically, but I was the senior agent, and I was in charge of El Salvador. And, you know, we went out there and conducted these investigations. And
so you'd signed on to fight drugs. When did you find out that it was the government controlling it?
Well, from the very get-go, you know, I was, you know, when I got into Guatemala City and my country attaché, Robert Stias, said to me, you know, there's some funny things going on in Salvador, and just don't step on anybody's toes, and, you know, don't report anything, and, you know, everything comes to me and so forth. And sure enough, my source of information was the guy who did all the flight plans for the Contra pilots that were heavily involved in drug trafficking. And it was very well documented of money being seized in the U.S. and drugs being seized in the U.S. that came out of Ilopango. There's no doubt about that. And we ourselves refueled some of those planes with the anticipation of being seized in the U.S. when they arrived. But
well, there have been cases where the local police bust planes on airports. This has been in Esquire magazine. And the people flash CIA, national security badges. Terry Reed was there and saw the cocaine at Mena, Arkansas. I mean, there are countless people who have actually witnessed and seen all of this.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's no secret.
Yeah, well, you know what? The thing about it that vindicates Gary Webb was the fact that the Contra story, the final report, Hicks, a CIA official, admits that they were sleeping with the enemy. And that there was an agreement between the CIA and the State Department of not reporting this incident.
What's always interesting to me is for you to explain how, like, the whole supply chain of, like, how it got from Ilopango all the way into the hands of Ricky Ross, and how did Ricky Ross do this for years without even knowing who was really behind it, just to show, like, the level of compartmentalization.
Right. And see, what happened was Ricky would not ask any questions. Why? Because everything was fronted to him on consignment. So, you know, he cornered the market. It was like Walmart. He was able, everybody came to him from all over the country, and he started major distribution points, and we saturated the country with cocaine.
I want to add this. The colonel who was the head in Latin America back in 1998, for all counter-drug operations, was caught shipping in masses of cocaine and heroin into New York. And when
right.
I asked Barry McCaffrey about it, you know, he just literally turned red and couldn't talk, and the whole audience started clapping and laughing at him. And, I mean, that's another example. I mean, we've caught these people red-handed, Sully.
Well, you know, we have a CIA official in Venezuela who shipped 1,000 keys of cocaine without the approval of the DEA, and then he was arrested, and... And so forth. So there are incidents that are very well documented that our government was heavily involved in drug trafficking. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, the final report acknowledged the fact that it did happen, and they turned a blind eye to it.
Kevin Booth, anything else you want to add from the interview you taped last night?
No, just, you know, I mean, how, you know, that... But I think Ricky was really sincere when he felt like a real loss with Gary's death, regardless of how he died or whatever, that it was a loss to him, that he felt Gary was like a godsend in his life, and that he probably wouldn't even be alive right now if it wasn't for Gary exposing this story.
All right, Kevin, try to get back to your office and see if we can get that in the third hour. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with Selly right after this break. Stay with us. MSNBC, the Associated Press, will tell you what is public. Skull and Bones was founded in 1832 with money from the British East India Company. Mr. Russell, who was over all opium sales in the United States. Ever since then, they've been in control of it. And the people that founded the CIA in 1947 were publicly members of Skull and Bones. They've always been drug dealers. It's the heart of their business. Whether it's Afghanistan now with record opium sales and production, or Latin America. This is how it works. They send in the military to go after any competition that is producing poppies or coca leaves that goes against them, and that's the war on drugs internationally. So they can control the market, control competition. Then domestically, they bust the low-level dealers to put them in the prisons that the drug-dealing families, we've traced it back, own predominantly. So they bring the drugs in, and then when they get your kids using them, then they put them in their private prisons working for 18, 20 cents an hour and displace those jobs and then make money by having the slave labor. And then they use the pretext of the drug war to militarize the police and to fund the militarization and have them bust down your door. That's why I will never use any of these drugs, not to mention the fact they're bad for you and very destructive. I won't use the same big pharma companies are also linked to opium and cocaine. It's one big happy family. They also push, you know, their legal prescription drugs that are even more deadly than the illegal drugs on your children and on adults. So the drug dealers, the criminals, run the country. That's what tyranny is. When criminals get control of government, we call that tyranny. And that's been the norm in history. America had been a little bit different, but now we've fallen down. Selly Castillo, again, the senior DA officer in Latin America, is going to be with us into the next hour. We've got Chico Brown, one of Rio Ricky's associates, one of the biggest former dealers, of course, on the West Coast as well. Will be joining us, friends with Gary Webb. So that's coming up as well. Just ultra briefly, grab a pen and paper. Don't wait. Get my film, Police State 2, The Takeover, 2 hours, 5 minutes long. 30 minutes of it is about the drug war. We confront McCaffrey. We interview Terry Reid and others. It's a great film. Just to give you an idea of what's in these films, that's 30 minutes of this two-hour film. I got discounts going right now where you can get some of my films as low as $5.95 a piece. Just call, ask about the specials. They're only going for another week. Make the call. Give the gift of truth to people. 1-888. Again, that's 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or go to InfoWars.com to peruse the online shopping cart to order a hard copy of any of the films or books. And all the different specials are posted there at InfoWars.com as well. Don't wait. Take action now. 888-253-3139. Or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. You can watch all the films, read my book, read Paul Watson's book, watch my weekly TV reports, all of it at PrisonPlanet.tv. 15 cents a day. Sully, we're about to break, but in the next hour with Chico, what are some of the things you want to get into?
Well, basically, the acknowledgement, the fact that, to affirm the fact that the CIA was involved, how the whole operation was run out of L.A. and Meneses and Blendon, how they were actually getting their supply from the CIA.
And also, during the break, I said, have they broken in your house? And your comment was, hell yes. And yeah. You've done some things to be able to document that.
Right. And, you know they'll I, for example, will do the old-fashioned, the old-school type of stuff. I'll put, like, scotch tape on the seams of my door and to find out if somebody actually came into my house or not when I was gone. And then they've been broken, so which means they were inside the house. And, you know, you go and you look in your computer and you look at your stuff. And there's some pictures that I've had stored away, copies of them, that were taken. Pictures of CIA officials that I had copies of.
We'll be right back with the second hour.